Bible is Funny podcast family. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Anthony Russo, better known to some of you as The Bible is Funny, at The Bible is Funny on Instagram. Welcome back to the podcast. If this is your first time here with us, welcome here for the first time. We are recording this right now in my house. My kids are asleep. My dog is sitting with my wife on the couch, and my wife is speaking for her in the language and accent and personality that we've bestowed upon our dog. Is this something that you guys do? Do you give your dog like a voice and a personality? Our dog's name is Penny Lane. She is a British woman, we've decided. She's a schnauzer, I've mentioned before, but she's a British woman, and she has lived an amazing life, according to the backstory that we've built for her over these last 8 years. She served with the Queen for a little while. She was good friends with the Queen. She knows J.K. Rowling personally. An unbelievable story. She really deserves her own podcast. It would be far more interesting than this one, the life that Penny Lane has led. I'm curious if other people do this, though. We've asked some of our friends, and it's kind of across... I feel like there's way more no's than yeses, actually, now that I think about it. But yeah, Penny Lane is our dog, and she has a... she's British. Welcome back to the podcast. Like I said, I want to say before we get started on today's podcast, thank you so much to everybody that has reached out since we've released the podcast. There's been so much good vibes sent my way, and just so many nice things that people have said, and super positive response to releasing the podcast, which was a really nerve-wracking thing for me. It's just always nerve-wracking when you sort of put stuff out there into the world that you care a lot about. So thank you so much for being just so kind. And Penny, my word, Penny. Sorry. You know, you started talking about her and she gets a big head. Thank you so much for all your kind words. Some people have left really positive reviews on Apple Podcasts and things like that. It just means the world. Seriously, thank you very much for all of that. And if you haven't left a raving review on Apple Podcasts yet, you know, pause and do that right now, just quickly, because it was a really great thing. It was awesome to hear from the people we did hear from, but you know, we got to keep it going. We want to keep like a good, consistent amount of positive energy flowing through the Apple Podcast reviews. Thank you guys, seriously, very, very much for all that. Today's story we're getting into is in the Funny Bible Story Hall of Fame. If you are familiar at all with the Bible, if you grew up reading the Bible or around the Bible, maybe you've heard of this story, but this is like just one of those stories that just jumps off the page for everybody in this particular sense. And this is, of course, the story of Balaam's donkey. Balaam's donkey. We are in Numbers, Old Testament book of Numbers. When you're working through the Old Testament, I said this in, I think, the first podcast, that I really fell back in love with the Old Testament doing this Bible is Funny project. When you're reading through it, you're starting at the beginning, you get to Genesis, you get the creation story, you get a lot of cool stories about these foundational characters to the whole narrative of the Bible. It's really great. And then you go into Exodus, and you get this really powerful story of God leading God's people out of captivity. Super powerful, you know, really great, really, really, like, you can just see it all kind of playing out in your mind. And then you bump into Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and there can be some tough sledding in there. There's a lot of a lot of really, really great stuff. It's the Bible, so there's always going to be good stuff. But there's also, you know, you get these like traditions and ways that they did things and so on and so forth. And then you get to Numbers. This is some real deep next level biblical interpretation I'm giving you right now. Numbers, full of numbers. A lot of numbers in there. And the first time I read it, maybe I'm alone in this, I was like, it never dawned on me. I just had not spent a lot of time in Numbers. But then when I got in there, I was like, oh yeah, we're counting a lot of stuff in here. So the story of Balaam and Balaam's donkey is a nice breakup here in chapter 22. It's a fascinating story. There's a lot of just a lot of intrigue in, around, and in the middle of it. So we're just going to dive right in and start to unpack it. That's what we're going to do today. We are in Numbers chapter 22, starting in verse 21 and going through verse 35. Numbers chapter 22, verses 21 through 35. Little context, here we have Balaam, who is being requested by Balak, I think I'm saying these names right, I'm never fully confident, to go to Balak, to go with him. There's a little bit of back and forth, even with Balaam and God, as to, first he's not going to go, and then he is going to go. And that's where the story picks up. So let's start in verse 21. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, it turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat it to get it back on the road. So the first part here that is certainly a little disconcerting is that there's an angel of the Lord standing in the road to oppose Balaam. So we get the intention of the angel here. Ever since Genesis, every image I have when I have an angel in this context, the angel's holding a flaming sword. I think that's only referenced in the Garden of Eden, but that's just my assumption from now till the end of time. If an angel's just standing somewhere, they're probably armed with a flaming sword. Maybe there's other tools that they have, but that's the one that I'm familiar with. Oh, yeah, well, in verse 23, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. So I'm not totally off base here. And you know the sword's on fire. You just know the sword's on fire. The donkey is the only one in the crew that can see this thing. Fascinating start to the story and a very disconcerting way to go about your everyday life. Like, we can't see this stuff, but the critters can? Like, what, and what critters can see what? How often am I walking my dog around my neighborhood and Penny kind of juts off into the grass? And I'm like, oh, stop sniffing that. Get back here on the sidewalk. And really, Penny is trying to save me from some sort of spiritual being that I can't see. Only Penny can see him. So that ends in verse 23. And then obviously, of course, you know, Balaam's donkey is just trying to save Balaam's life, and Balaam beats the donkey to get it back on the road. Verse 24, then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. And this is that's verse 25. So obviously the donkey sees the angel again, responds, and kind of pushes Balaam into a weird spot. And again, I mean, I will never approve of being unkind to animals in any way. It's not the way that I go about raising my animal that I tend to, old Penny Lane over there. But boy, I mean, I think we can all resonate with the frustration of an animal not doing what you want it to do. And you're trying to kind of go about your day and do your thing, and you've got stuff to do in the animal. You're out taking them on a walk or whatever, and they're barking like crazy. My dog barks like crazy when I walk her around the neighborhood. And all the other dogs are like pretty cool. Like some like golden retrievers, different things like that. And they're like way bigger than her. And they're walking on the other side of the road. And they're like pretty chill. You know, they come, they kind of look over at her. And she just like loses her mind. And it's this whole scene every single time. Regardless, be kind to animals. It's very important that you do that. That's not the point of this whole thing, but that's an important note here. Verse 25, where's where we left off. Verse 26, Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat it with his staff. I hate that I keep having to talk about him beating this animal, because I don't like that at all. But this is another classic dog move, if you're a dog owner. The old, I'm just going to lay right here, and you're going to have to figure this whole situation out. Sometimes I'll take Penny on a run with me, and she will, while we're running, she'll decide she's had enough running, and she'll just like lay down in some sort of shaded area and call it quits right there. So I've actually had to, at different points, bring a double stroller, and then I'll put one of the kids in one of the sides of the stroller, and I'll put Penny in the other side of the stroller when she gets too tired, and she gets a kick out of that. So Balaam lays down, Balaam's donkey lays down, and Balaam's all frustrated. Verse 28, here's where the fun gets started. Verse 28, then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Hold the phone. If this is your first time realizing that this is in the Bible, it's Numbers chapter 22, verse 28. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? There's so much about this that I love. One, this is the dream. This, I want animals to talk so much. I think that would be the best. I mean, it's what is always going to bring me back to the Chronicles of Narnia. I just would love for animals to talk. I think that that would be so fun. When the Lord opens the donkey's mouth, the donkey doesn't just come right out with the information that the donkey has. The donkey's not, it's not super direct. It's kind of being roundabout, looking back at Balaam saying, what have I done? What did I do to you to make you beat me? This is three times now that you've hit me. Verse 29, the story only gets more exciting. Balaam answers the donkey, what? Like, a donkey, you're riding this donkey, the donkey's acting all weird, you're getting frustrated. The donkey finally turns it, looks at you, and says, what did I do? What did I do to make you beat me these three times? Balaam, so frustrated that this trip is not going the way he wants it to go, looks at the donkey and says, verse 29, you have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you right now. So a donkey, I believe for the first time in any sort of context that we can imagine, is talking to a person, and the person's response is to sort of verbally threaten the donkey. There's so much context. Does a donkey even know what a sword is? For you to say, well, if I had a sword, boy, I'd really show you what was going on. I'm sorry, I'm a donkey. What are we talking about right now? Also, very convenient that the donkey spoke his language. That was a good connecting point. So the Balaam says to the donkey, you've made a fool of me. You embarrassed me, donkey. Boy, if I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. Which is also just such an empty threat, right? You're riding this donkey somewhere. You're going, who, if you kill the donkey, who wins? Nobody. You now have to walk with all the stuff you were bringing with you. You've got to figure out a way to carry all this back to wherever it is you came from or whatever it is you're going. This is just the worst threat that he just verbally responded to a donkey who's talking to him. Verse 30. The donkey said to Balaam, I love this story. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? Again, Balaam's donkey does not, right? Okay, open the donkey's mouth. Donkey can talk and communicate. How easy would it have been for the donkey to be like, listen, Balaam, there is a angel with a giant flaming sword. I also assume the sword is giant, and I think you should too. There's an angel with a giant flaming sword blocking the path, and I'm looking out for you here. I'm trying to, no, 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 no. Balaam's donkey doesn't do any of that. Doesn't do any of the explanation of exactly the situation. He comes about it in a much more strategic way. Verse 30. This is my favorite verse, by the way, in context in the entire Bible for this reason. I love this verse so much. The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" So the donkey poses a question to Balaam that is really making him consider his actions up until this point. And this is the best part, the end of verse 30. Donkey says to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. "No," he said, is my favorite three words in context in the whole Bible, because it's Balaam admitting to his donkey, who is speaking to him, "You know what? That's actually a really good point. I hadn't thought about that, and I see where you're coming from, and I want you to know I hear you and I see you." The donkey has bested Balaam in this conversation. It's not just that the donkey talked, it's that the donkey like outsmarted Balaam in conversation. Not just like, oh, the donkey could see the angel and that's the thing. No, when they could both talk, Balaam's donkey was better at talking than Balaam was. This is just such a fantastic story. Then verse 31. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. Verse 32. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I've come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared it." The donkey. What a great line by the angel, too. The donkey saw me. This is the angel talking. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared that donkey. You have to love that Balaam says to Balaam's donkey, "If I had a sword, I'd kill you right now." And then the angel, that Balaam's finally able to see the angel, and the angel says, "Guess what? That donkey hadn't turned away, I'd have killed you right now." Everybody could have ended up dead in this scenario. But that donkey rammed your foot into a wall, thank God, so you're going to make it out of here alive. Such a great thing. And the fact that the angel said, "I would have spared the donkey," just so we're clear, Balaam, where you are on my totem pole right now, donkey would have made it. Donkey would have come out of this thing fine. Verse 34, Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back." This is verse 35. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but speak only what I tell you." So Balaam went with Balak's officials. It's hitting me so, even just reading it now. Verse 33, the angel saying, "The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If that donkey had not turned away, I would have killed you by now." Like, the donkey, even the idea that like the donkey turning away, it was at all inhibiting the angel. Like, oh, like the angel's, the reach of the angel's sword was just not far enough. That donkey just turned away in time. It's also funny. It just feels like there's so much, there's a lot of attitude in some of this language that they're using with each other. And I absolutely love it. And it hits me. The story hits me from Balaam's perspective, not just with my dog, as I mentioned earlier, but how many times I feel like I just want to have control over a situation. I used to work in childcare at the YMCA, and I worked with like elementary school kids and middle school kids. When I worked with elementary school kids, I was pretty laid back as a group leader. That's what we called the position, and I would manage my group and everything, and I was pretty chill, I feel like, as far as group leaders go. But there would inevitably, once every couple of weeks or whatever, be a day where everything was just going out, and the kids were just being a little too crazy, and there's too many things going on. And I'd really want to get some control back over my group. And you want to just, you would just want people to be doing what you ask them to do. That's all you want. Can you guys just please do what I'm asking you to do? So you'd, you know, every single day you did it, you'd be like, hey guys, can you sit in this line? Can you sit in this line? Keep your hands off each other, not roughhouse and play, whatever. These second graders, so they weren't listening most of the time. And then one day you'd be like, Billy, let's say, would step out of line, or you'd be like, hey guys, no talking right now. We're doing homework, no talking. And then Billy would like, you'd be talking, and you're like, okay, that's it. I gotta like make an example out of Billy now. I gotta really let these kids know that they gotta do what I'm telling them to do. I gotta get some control back in this situation. So you're like, Billy, are you talking right now? And without fail, I promise you, without fail, it would be something like this. Billy, you talking right now? I can't believe you're talking right now. Didn't I just say we're not supposed to be talking right now? And Billy would be like, yeah, I was just talking to Maddie here, and Matt's having this really tough situation at home, you know, where he just feels like things are not under his control. So I was just telling him, you know, Maddie, you got to focus on the things you can control and just really hone into the person that you are, you know, and just know that your family loves you in spite of whatever might be going on. Just totally embarrassing. Billy is doing exactly something that Billy should be doing in this moment. And my need to be in control of the situation makes me come off like a lunatic. And then, you know, of course, you're like, oh, okay, Billy, yeah, please talk to Matt about what's going on. And also maybe Billy, you and I can talk later about some stuff that I've got going on, because you sound like a really good listener. So it's this need to get control of the situation. That's what I hear in this story and why I think it's so funny, because Balaam, he's just trying to ride this donkey to go to this place to do this thing. And it's so much so that when the donkey starts talking to him, it's not even like, oh wow, we should stop and acknowledge this donkey's talking. It's like, if I had a sword, I would have killed you for not doing what I told you to do. He's just so out of his mind. And so my encouragement to you in the midst of all that, and my takeaway from my story, what I've really tried to learn from moments like that, and that's not the only one in my life, there's been others like it. You want to have, you just want some control. You just want to be able to have some consistency. And boy, right now in this particular moment we're in as a country and as a world, that's something that's, it's, I think if you're a sane person, that's something that you want back in some degree. But I would just encourage you that, you know, wanting everything to go the way that you sort of can plan it, the way that you can understand it, the way that you can sort of foresee it, is not always the best thing. I mean, there's an obvious example here, this big giant angel with a flaming sword in the way. And I don't think that's usually the case for you and me in our everyday life. But I would encourage you to take something away from this story, to just be aware of what's going on. Be aware of where God might be sending messages to you. What are you missing in these little adjustments, in these little unforeseen interruptions? That if you just look past the interruption, if you just look past this, no, it's not part of my plan. I had a plan and that's not part of my plan. If you just look past it and try to get back to where you were going, get back to what you were doing as quickly as possible, you might miss the best thing. You might miss the thing that God's trying to tell you in this moment. And the nuance here is obviously that sometimes you do have to press on. Sometimes to reach your goals, you do need to continue on the path that you know you're supposed to be on. But I also think for those people, who I, by the way, I feel like I fall into that camp a little bit, it's really important that you continue asking those questions. What's God trying to tell me right now? Is this God trying to kind of communicate with me here? Is this somebody that I really love and care about that's speaking a lot of wisdom right now? And I'm having a hard time hearing it because it's not in my plan of what I would really like to be doing this moment. And then you end up, you know, losing an argument to your donkey when you're in that headspace. So don't live there as much as you can possibly avoid it. And that's my encouragement to you today. And what I certainly at least think could be argued is the funniest story in the whole Bible. And no, he said, is my favorite three words. in context in the whole Bible when the donkey wins the argument. Don't get yourself there. Be a little bit more flexible. Be a little bit attuned to what's going on around you. And you can avoid losing arguments to your donkey. That's it. That's the Bible is Funny podcast for today. Subscribe to the podcast if you don't mind, if you haven't already. Tell your friends, rate, share it, all that stuff. Just means so much to me as I keep doing this. And we'll do it again soon. Bye, everybody. Stay safe.